The Lance Wall Now Show is coming at you live from the master himself, with a special broadcast taken from one of Lance's most recent appearances. Tune in and get ready for some major revelation.
I was supposed to meet with Donald Trump up at Trump Towers, and it was an unusual situation. I'll tell you real quick what happened. I got a word from a buddy of mine, Rick Joyner. He said, Lance, there's a billionaire that wants to talk to you in Florida. And I want you to, there's a meeting you're invited to. I suggest you go to it because this guy wants to talk to you there. I thought, well, thanks a lot. All right, I'll go meet this billionaire and wherever this place is, I'll go speak. Well, it was a warehouse. It was a warehouse. We had a whiteboard, a rickety whiteboard, and all these metal chairs. And I got up in this unusual place. And I'm getting up and I'm just saying, well, wherever I go, I give 100%. I don't care what the group is, where it's at. I just treat it like a divine appointment. So I preach my heart out about the seven mountains of culture and how God is calling the church to make disciples of nations. And in order to do that, we need to have strong territorial churches that are raising up believers to go into the surrounding area and become the head and not the tail, and exercise their faith to be able to lead instead of follow. And so I preached this message, and I was supposed to meet with this guy. He never showed up. My billionaire didn't make it. He called after the meeting, apologized, said, this is a terrible thing came up. Could I come see him later? And so I was flying home, and the devil must have been sitting right next to me. Because I have friends of mine that have big ministries, TV ministries, stuff, and I'm pioneering on this odd path that I'm on, into this strange realm that I'm going into. But the more that I'm praying, the more I feel like the Lord's pulling me into this something different that I've got to pioneer and get out there in. But I'm sitting there thinking, I must be out of my mind. Because when I compare myself to all my friends, they got big ministries, they got big church, they got TV going on, and here I am flying around the country to warehouses with rickety whiteboards and metal chairs looking for billionaires that don't exist. And the devil's talking right to me. And here's the weird thing. When you're in spiritual warfare, you think it's you talking to you. It's not you. It's the devil talking to you, and you think you're having a conversation with yourself. Well, I said, well, I don't know. All I know is, I remember Catherine Kuhlman once said this, I'm following you, sometimes almost blindly, but I am following the best I can to follow you. Well, next thing I know, a month or two later, I get a phone call from my secretary. She goes, you're going to fire me. I go, that's always a good start for a conversation. What did you do? She said, well, I was just playing the answer machine, and you were invited to go meet with Donald Trump, with The Apprentice back then. It's Mr. Trump. And Donald Trump invited you to come meet with him up at his office, and somehow you were invited, but I didn't play the message. I missed it, and the event is tomorrow, and I didn't RSVP, so it looks like we've missed that appointment, and I'd understand if you fired me. I said, well, call whoever it is, tell them I'm going to catch a plane, and I'll show up. So I did a last-minute thing, and I get up there. And sure enough, I'm there. But it was really odd, because here's, like, TBN, like, you know, what's her name? Paul and his wife? Jan Crouch. And it's, like, Brother Copeland, it's Brother Jeremiah, this, and a whole bunch of TV preachers, megachurch pastors and TV preachers. And I'm looking at them thinking, there's something wrong here. I know all of them, but I'm kind of like, you know, I'm like a ninja in the body of Christ. Nobody knows where I'm at. So I go over to the guy at the elevator thinking he was a security guy. And I said, hey, I'm a little concerned about my secretary here getting the message wrong. Am I supposed to be here at this meeting? And my name is Lance Wall. He goes, I know who you are. I put you on the list. I said, well, who are you? He said, well, I happen to be the guy they contacted to assemble this group, and I heard you in this rickety warehouse one time down in Florida with the metal chairs and some whiteboard, and the Lord told me then, if I ever had a chance to get you in front of Donald Trump, I was to put you there. That was my reason for going. It wasn't a billionaire, it was him. And I realized, well, the devil's a liar. That was the guy, that was the reason I was supposed to go to that meeting. So anyway, I'm sitting in that meeting, and it's an interesting meeting with all these preachers and people. And Donald Trump's up there, and I can remember getting kicked under the chair because this guy that put me in that meeting, he said, the Lord told me you're supposed to be in this meeting. Say something. I thought, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Now I'm feeling pressure, performance anxiety, because he put me in the room, and I'm supposed to say something. So long story short, I did say something. And we did have a connection, and we did make that connection. And I can remember sitting there thinking, this is so weird. They're talking about there was riots in Baltimore at that time, and Ferguson, and there's all kinds of crazy things going on. And he's talking about terrorism and Muslims in the United States, and the border being broken down, and race relations. And he's a whole different world than a preacher's in. And I can remember saying, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? I may do seven mountains when I'm teaching about it, but I got no idea what I'm doing in Trump's boardroom here, discussing the guy who wants to be president, and he's talking about all the problems the world has in America. And you know what the Lord told me? The Lord said to me, every time you pray in tongues, you tell me this is what you want to do. Now, let me say that if you can hear that again. Every time you pray in tongues, you tell me this is what you want to do. In other words, my tongues were taking me where my head has never gone. And I want to tell you something. Your spirit knows things your head doesn't know. And if you're only led by your head, you're dead. Because your spirit has a bigger revelation God's constantly trying to put over into you. But then you have to hear the word taught to you to expand a framework so that you're not fighting with a revelation. I was fighting with God right then. I'm thinking, well, this feels really weird, like kicking me under the chair. I'm uncomfortable. I'm out of my coat. I'm not anointed to this. This is what you're telling me when you pray in the Spirit. This is what you want to do. Well, now I understood it. So I went back. I don't want to labor the point. But I go back home. My friend Kim Clement, who was supposed to meet me there, had a stroke or something. He wasn't there. Now, normally, when I'm with a prophet, I go with a prophet, and I'll be a prophet. I'm secondarily a prophet, firstly a teacher. But, I mean, I could work with the prophets. I understand them. That's how come I could work with all the prophets so well. Because I get it. But he would go out there, he'd hear a word, and I was expecting him to hear about Donald Trump. What's the Lord doing? But he wasn't there to hear. So I come back home, and a weird thing happens. We're like best friends. Whatever anointing or gift he has suddenly jumps over on me. And I'm sitting there in my house, and I'm hearing in my left ear, like a ticker tape, a voice. The next president of the United States is going to be, the 45th president is going to be an Isaiah 45 president. The next president of the United States will be an Isaiah 45 president. The 45th president will be Isaiah 45. And I'm thinking, 45th president, Isaiah 45. What's this? I never heard God talk like that, in my ear no less. So right away I thought, whew, this could be the devil talking to me. Now I'm getting some weird places now. So instead of going to Isaiah 45, I went to Google. Isn't that weird? I go to Google to try the spirits, whether they be of God. And I wrote in there, I said, what number is the next president of the United States? I figured it could be a dumb devil, and it could be the wrong number. You know, sometimes you run into stupid devils, and they give themselves away right away. What number is it? And I read it, and goes, Barack Obama's the 44th president. I said, aha, I knew it was a dumb devil because he was elected twice. I knew that much. So that'd be 44 and 45. Then it says, but whatever number you have when you go and you keep, no matter how many times you're elected. Therefore, he was reelected, but he's still the 44th president. The next president will be the 45th. I go, uh-oh. I go to Isaiah. Open it up. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, whom I've anointed to go through the two-leaved gates of Babylon upon dry ground. You're going to make the crooked places straight, break the gates of iron. And all this I'm going to do for my people's sake, though you do not even know me, for verily I'm a God who hides himself. You know, there are stories in the Bible that are actually so amazing. Imagine if God gave you a dream and he said to you, ask of me anything that you wish and I'll give it to you. Well, that actually happened. Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave him wisdom. Suppose God was to ask you if you wanted the ability to open up heaven with your prayer life so that you could come up into this very presence and see his plan and his purpose and his detailed blueprint for what you're called to do. And then suppose God added to that and said, and I'm going to give you the power over every demon and earthly circumstance that gets in your way when you want to administrate that vision. I'm going to give you kingly power and priestly access to the throne of God at the same time. That's the end time move of God, folks. It's called the Melchizedek Spirit. Jesus comes to us, the Bible says, in a new order. It's called the order of Melchizedek. We've seldom seen it manifest in the church, but it's showing up now, where God is giving to his people the royal priesthood authorization to be able to see what heaven wants to do, pray prevailing prayers, and administrate that prayer right over the works of hell. We're seeing amazing answers to prayer. We're seeing new testimonies happen every day. I want you to get this special teaching. LanceWallet.com/Mel. That's short for Melchizedek. LanceWallet.com/Mel. You don't want to miss it. This is fresh revelation, hot off the press. God hid himself in a candidate. People go, the guy's a heathen. Well, guess what? Cyrus in the Bible, according to the Bible, thus says the Lord to Cyrus, whom I've anointed to do this thing for the sake of my people, though at this point you don't even know who I am. That's not even good Benny Hinn theology on the anointing. I was thinking, how can possibly God anoint somebody who's not even saved? That's what I'm reading, Isaiah 45. Go work it out with God. It's in the Bible. I've anointed Cyrus. He doesn't know me yet, but I'm raising him up because my people are praying. So now I got this situation. I'm thinking, man, well, I'm hearing God. God's telling me this guy, Trump, is a Cyrus. This guy, Cyrus, he's being raised up because of what God's going to do for Israel and what he's going to do for the church. He's going to be a champion for God's people. He's going to be like Samson. He may have some sordid history behind him, but he's going to bash Philistines. So I'm sitting there going, well, this is interesting. Now, this is the hard part. It's easy to prophesy a word everybody wants to hear. The true prophets are prophesying what you don't want to hear. Nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. They all liked Huckabee. They all liked Cruz. They all liked Ben Carson. They all liked everybody except the heathen from New York. But I told them, I said, I heard God. I'm telling you, I heard God. So I sat down and I wrote a book. I said, this is God's chaos candidate. He's going to be likened unto Cyrus. And there's going to be a word I hear the Lord saying to me. It's called Trump derangement syndrome. I predicted the very terminology in 2015 before he was elected. I said, the media is going to have an absolute meltdown. The media mountain is going to freak out when this guy suddenly becomes president, and they're going to have Trump derangement everywhere. So I write the book. I put it out. And I'm in Jerusalem, of all places, because I'm 20% Ashkenazi Jew. I got family in Israel. Sister is Israeli. And I'm going down there to go preach for the United Nations. I got a little United Nations thing I'm doing there, talking to CEOs and, you know, diplomats and stuff like that. And while I'm there, teaching for the UN people that are all Christians, we have a secret meeting for Christians in the UN, all of the closet followers of Jesus. I'm at the Mount Zion Hotel. I get a knock on the door from Tom Hess, my brother, who invited me down to do this meeting. He goes, oh, did you hear? Oh, hear what? No, I just wrote the book. I just published the book. I was very excited because the book went public on the Feast of Trumpets. This is great. Feast of Trumpets, the book's out. I'm in Jerusalem. Everything's lining up. He said, man, you hear about that Access Hollywood video just got out? Whoo! I go, what? He goes, well, I don't know if Donald Trump can stay in the race right now. And evidently, it's some really horrific thing he did 10 years ago, and it's all recorded, and they're taking him. It's going to be hard for him to run. I go, oh, my God. I was deceived. That's a terrible thought. Think you're deceived. I said, if that's true, if he's really in trouble like that, and he's going to back. I just wrote a book. How do you recall a book? It's not like a Toyota. So I thought, I got to do a product recall. So I said, all right, everybody, we're going to take a 15-minute break. Take 15 minutes, get to know each other. I'll be right back. I ran up to my room. And I wrote an email to a friend of mine, Gordon Pennington. I said, is it true? He's going, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. I said, well, how bad is it? And then he shows me the transcript. I go, oh, Yvette, this is terrible. There's no way this guy can be elected. He's still, oh, my God, be evangelicals. Oh, what are they going to do? And so I'm desperate. I get on my knees at the Mount Zion Hotel. I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer when the heavens are brass. I'll tell you what it's like. It's unlike anything else. It's one thing if you're fighting the devil or you're fighting unbelief. It's another thing when God's annoyed with your prayer. I'm on my knees. I'm saying, oh, God, my God, why hast thou allowed me to be deceived? Did I not say, if this isn't you, show me? Did I not tell you time and time again, I don't even want to do this thing? Here I am, and I'm getting sucked into the political. I shouldn't even be in the politics in the first place. I should have never left Egypt. I should have stayed where I was. And every word I'm saying is bouncing back on me like a racquetball. Bing, bang, bing, bing, bing. I'm thinking, oh. It's like I'm trying to pray and the ceilings are bouncing all my words back on me. Now, the first time I've ever had in my entire life, heavens are brass. I thought, well, has God ever done that in the Bible where he says he's annoyed with your prayer? It's a fact. We all think God's always hearing prayer. Joshua doing the same thing. Oh, God, why'd you lead us into battle? Why did we would have been better off if we stayed in Egypt? And God said, stop it. Get on your feet. Stop that praying. Stop praying that prayer. It's annoying me. This is my fault. It's your fault. Then God started straightening out Joshua. The Lord had to straighten me out. He said, get on your feet. I said, man, I thought, what have I done? I thought maybe I sinned or something, some sin, and God's paying me back for it now. You know, you think crazy thoughts in a moment like that. I thought, well, what did I do? The Lord says, stop it. You are going to go online right now, open your mouth, and I will fill it. Yes. I thought, oh, my God. You talk about a high wire act. I thought, well, I got to do something to get that product recall. People, I got 2,500 books out there. 2,500. Well, we'll stop selling the books. And I go online, and all of a sudden, a prophetic anointing hits me. And I'm leaning out on the balcony of the Mount Zion Hotel in Jerusalem. And I go, hello, everybody. Here I am in Mount Zion. That's the Kidron Valley out there. And I'm in Jerusalem on this wonderful day. Now, no doubt you've heard the story about the situation with Donald Trump and the Access Hollywood video. And, of course, the transcript is very damaging indeed. And you might be wondering, what is God doing? I'm talking to myself right now. I don't know what God's doing. I myself am asking that same question. What is the Lord doing? Could he not have kept this from happening, this surfacing of it? Of course he could have. But the Lord is in control of what he's doing. So I'm kind of talking myself into clarity here. I said, therefore, I have to assume that God is allowing this to happen. And you might say, why? That's what I would say. Do you remember when Donald Trump was meeting with the evangelicals and they asked him if he had any sins that he had ever committed, that if he had ever sinned and had any sins? Because every evangelical has to go to the Iowa caucus and somehow connect with the evangelicals and explain that they've accepted Jesus and they're all sinners. They have to know their lines. Donald Trump, God bless him, doesn't know his lines. And they said, have you ever sinned? He said, nothing that I could think of. Now, this is not working with the evangelicals. You know, he's in his third marriage right now, and you know, he's a playboy in New York. He surely has something. Nothing I can think of. But when I take my little wafer and my little cup of juice, that's what I do. He's talking about communion. Oh, my gosh, what's he talking about? I say, well, guess what? Now he has a sin he can think of. He's making progress. And furthermore, I can't believe what's coming out of my mouth. And furthermore, I'm going to tell you this. If he was elected president without this humbling, he would take credit for it. But now, if he's elected president, he'll know it was an act of God. Because this is the circumcision prior to his promotion. I can't believe I'm doubling down on this thing. And so I proceeded to exhort a few more words. I said, now you're going to say, well, that's not a very godly character. Of course, it's 10 years ago. They're digging up anything they can. Is that like the devil to go back 10 years? 11 or 12 years ago, he made a decision he was going to be a better man. He straightened his life out. If you read the articles, he decided he wanted to be a family man. He wanted to get his life right. He didn't want to live like a playboy. And that's when he settled down. It was after that he actually made a decision. He was going to change his ways. But you know what? You're not going to read that. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that the devil is in the business of slander, but I believe that God is going to use this to humble him and to circumcise his heart, and that in spite of that, God's going to use it because Samson himself was a man who had a shady past with some Philistine babes, but God still used him. And so I hit send. I couldn't believe I'd just done that. Instead of like product recall, I'm doubling down. Well, I hit send. I go back down nervously, hands are shaking. I go, oh, man, I hope that... I have to think about what I just sent. I go down and start teaching back my UN group. Knock at the door. It's Tom Hess. Come back again. He's like my traumatic messenger. I go, what now? He said, have you seen? I go, seen what? Your message. Because I told him I was going to leave Jerusalem. I said, get me a flight. I got to get out of here. This is an emergency. I have to save America. He said, no, the word of the Lord goes forth from Jerusalem. I go, now you understand that Donald Trump's really done something nutty. I got to get back to the United States. He goes, the word of the Lord goes forth in Jerusalem. I'm going to pray that God is going to touch more people from Jerusalem than you could possibly do from the United States. Well, anyway, he knocks the door. He goes, remember what I told you? The word of the Lord goes forth. I said, well, what? He goes, a million people. I go, a million what? He goes, a million people have watched your video. I go, what? Now I'm trying to do damage control with 2,500 people that got the book so they don't have a meltdown. I wasn't trying to talk to a million people. 2 million people. 3 million people. 4 million people. It was 7 million when YouTube took it down. When the election happens, and they go back and they start going through the, what was the reason? Why did the evangelicals show up and vote for this heathen? The narrative they were saying was, well, what they're saying is that he's a modern-day Cyrus. The language was in their head. And I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's interviewing somebody. He said that this was the language of the Christians. They figured that God was using a vessel like the Bible uses. The guy's imperfect, but God uses those vessels like Cyrus. So then all of a sudden, my phone is by Jim Garlow, a friend of mine. Shouldn't have never. I got friends that give me terrible advice. He says, you should get Google Alerts. I go, why? Every time your name is mentioned in the media, it will alert you. I thought, oh. All right, I got Google Alerts. My phone was buzzing. It could have been from massage envy. The thing I could have put on my back. Because suddenly I got the New York Times, I got the Atlantic Journal. Everybody's talking about the Cyrus thing and this guy, this nutty guy, Lance Wallnau, and this guy's a dominionist with the seven mountains, and he's a Trump sycophant, and he's a Trump enthusiast, a false Trump prophet. I'm going, oh, my God. I shut the thing off. When it was, but then I noticed something. Everything went silent. And what happened was the, Benjamin Netanyahu went to the White House to go thank Donald Trump for the embassy move. And when he met with Donald Trump, he said, Mr. President, the Jewish people have a long memory, and we remember Cyrus of old, and we will always remember you. Netanyahu, the prime minister, linked Donald Trump to Cyrus. And all my critics from Rolling Stone and the Daily Beast and all the Axios and all the magazines you don't read and Slate, they stop hitting on me. But I'm saying all that to tell you something. I'm saying that you're living in a time of history where God is inviting you to explore territory that is further than the map you've had up until now. And it requires a certain amount of risk-taking, requires a certain amount faith sometimes is risk-taking. And you're just going to have to go. You don't have all the information, but the Lord is speaking to you. And I realized then, after I look back, that my tongues was taking me into new territory. And I'm exhorting you, if you get nothing out of this first whole part of my message today, is that you need to be praying in the Holy Spirit and asking the Lord for where he's taking you that you have not been before. Because there's more territory we've got to recover, and the Lord is giving us time right now, I believe, grace, in order to recover that territory. With that thought in mind, I want you to go to Psalm 2 real quick and take a look at this. I've been thinking, well, Lord, you gave me a seven mountain message, and the seven mountains is an idea. It's a concept. It says that when you read the newspaper, you're going to read about certain verticals or structures that are that the enemy is working on in order to control or take down the country. And you'll see the church is going to be in the news. Family is going to be in the news. Education is going to be in the news. Government's going to be in the news. The media and the arts realm is going to be in the news. You're going to see the science, the COVID, the vaccines, the stuff like that constantly taking over in the news. And you're going to see the great reset, the financial business, the collapse of the economy, as they're saying. All these seven realms, starting with the church, are the seven verticals or domains that literally Satan seeks to have an occupation in. Where does he want to occupy? He wants to occupy, the spirit realm wants to have authority at the top of these institutions. To do that, the enemy will promote people in order to be more influential in Hollywood, more influential in Wall Street, more influential in the White House. So the enemy puts his own, you could say, counterfeit eldership at the gates. Because if he can get agreement with him, he can bring hell to earth. Just like if God can get his church to agree with him, he can bring heaven to earth. So that's the battle. The battle is really at the gates. And I call this thing the gates of influence. The gates of influence is, in my opinion, where the gates of hell target. So if they can get the Supreme Court and just get a majority on the Supreme Court, they've got all the leverage they need to influence the rest of the substructure. So for that reason, there's always a battle over who's at the top of the mountain, who's at the gates of influence. And what's unfortunate is, from my perspective, that we, in the Old Testament, we had, Moses would be over here on the hill with Aaron, hands up in the air, praying. Meanwhile, Joshua is down here. But what did Joshua do? Joshua went forward into these, curiously enough, to dispossess seven nations that were greater and mightier than them. Seven nations, these spheres of influence. And the children of Israel, 90% of them were called to occupy and expand the territory. And the Levites, which is my forefathers, my on the Cohen side of my bloodline, we were Levites. So, and the teaching Levites, we would be equipping the saints and to do the work. And the work was go forth and take dominion because God had territory for the church in the Old Testament to occupy. Does that make sense? Well, I don't know why we lost all this when we got to the New Testament. And the New Testament is supposed to be based upon a better covenant with better promises. Surely God has real estate. God has territory. And that's where we come to the idea of Jesus saying that he has all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is the under-emphasized part of the Great Commission. So I want to go to Psalm 2 for a reason. I'm doing my research on nations in the last days. Because I believe that while we focused on the preach with signs and wonders on this side, I believe what the devil did was he focused on the teach. And what he did was he got into the education arena, he got into the media, he got into the intellectual elites at the top of these realms, and he began to teach a different worldview. We preach, they teach, but their teach had more influence than our preach. Because our preach was talking mostly to bring people out of the world into the kingdom of God. We weren't focusing on bringing people from the church into occupying territory around the church. So it's a different worldview. When I began looking at that, I said, it looks to me like the end game is going to be Jesus in Matthew 25 is going to gather the nations before him, and they will be sheep nations and goat nations. Otherwise, why am I getting involved with the government battle? Why is God prophetically calling people into understanding what's going on in these areas? Because the enemy is trying to occupy the high places in those areas. And the word of the Lord says, Jesus says, I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell, which are where? At the top of these, the gates of hell will not prevail against my ecclesia. Therefore, the church has to go into this area in order to show up at the gates where hell is trying to shape things. And that's where we find out we've got believers in government. It's just a handful. We've got believers in the Supreme Court. It's a handful. You have no idea how much America's freedoms hang by the thread of Christians deployed in these places. The cases that we've won in the Supreme Court have been because Christian litigators and lawyers have gone in, like Kelly Shackelford. They've gone in and they've made their case. It's the fact that Donald Trump was able to put three people in there that actually are not ideologically taken over by the left. So that you have this balancing act up there all the time. But the fact, what I'm trying to say to you is, you're living in a period of time where things are like teeter-tottering like this, and God is telling the church, I'm going to cause a shaking, but the church should be the unshakable kingdom. Go into these areas and begin to occupy. And it should not be a weird thing. It's just that we haven't seen it before. We haven't seen it as clearly as we see it now.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My slippers and sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Lance to save big on all of Mike's best products. That's promo code Lance. Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.